sing with me. Oh, I'm mount up with wings like eagles. Not grow weary when I run. When I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength. Not grow weary when I run. When I walk, I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength because I wait. We're gonna sing the chorus. Oh, I will wait.
I will wait.
I will wait.
I will wait.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, you are my strength.
I won't grow faint.
Yes,
Strength, our hope, our peace. We find complete fulfillment in you, knowing, O God, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will never let us be overwhelmed by any circumstance. When we feel like we've been locked into a situation, and there seems to be no way out, whichever way we look, we don't see any solution. In the natural, that may be so, but you are yet faithful, our God, who's able to translate us from one realm into another and cause us to escape every plan, every strategy of the enemy. You are very, very hope. And we celebrate with thanksgiving your goodness towards us, knowing, Father, that whatever it is that you've not planted must be uprooted. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to see you here tonight. You may be seated. The faithfulness of our God cannot be doubted. Yes, it is true that we are faced many times with challenges that can be overwhelming. When you live in your own small space, you don't know what people are going through. You really don't. Sometimes you hear the stories of people and what has happened in their lives, and you're heartbroken, because you cannot understand why anybody will go through situations like that. And I can understand when people are faced with situations like that and they withdraw from God, because there seems to be a conflicting in the hearts of people. When they know and they've heard that God is good, when they know that God is all powerful, when they know that God sees all things and knows all things, they wonder, why am I going through this? If there was a God, why this? And I can appreciate that. Too many times we become too quick with our judgment. When somebody dies, a loved one dies, somebody comes and hugs you and says to you, well, God needed a nice flower in heaven, so he plucked this one. I want to punch your lights out. God can have any garden he wants, but this is my loved one. I miss this person right here, right now. Don't come tell me God wanted a flower and plucked it out. That's not what I want to hear. Oh, God needed another angel. Excuse me? God needed an angel? And he couldn't make one? Came to take my angel? That is like David going for Uriah's wife. And the prophet came to David and said, there was this guy. He had all these cows and all these sheep and all this stuff. And then there was this other guy that only had one little cow. And this guy who had all this stuff came, see, friend came to his house, and instead of killing one of his cows, went and took the cow of the other guy who had only one and killed it. And David says, who is that? I'm going to get them. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Uriah had only one wife. You have wife number one, wife number two, wife number 10 concubines all over the place. You sex maniac. You want to take one man's wife. That's equating God to that. When somebody loses somebody, keep your mouth shut because you don't know what to say. Just give them a hug. Don't even say it's going to be okay. Just give them a hug. And the Bible tells us what it is. Weep with those that weep. That's what you do. Say, Pastor, is this message about that? No, I'm on a journey. Just come along with me. What the Word of God says to us, and we touched on it a little bit this morning, is that which God has not planted will be plucked up by the roots. Matthew 15 and verse 13. And you may ask, what does that have to do with what you just talked about? A whole lot. The whole lot is in this, that when bad things happen, it is not because of God, the loving, faithful, caring, understanding, all-knowing God, Yahweh. It's not. Jesus, our Lord, has gone to the cross. He's laid his life for mankind. Paid the price of sin. He's done everything, and in fact, the Word of God says, he said on the cross, it is finished. So it is a surprise when I read in the book of Ephesians, this statement. It says, that if the hearts of men are blinded, it is because of something. It is because of the God of this world who's blinded the hearts of men. The God of this world. What are you talking about? What do you mean, the God of this world? Yeah. The devil, as we see in the Word of God, is still the God of this world. And the God, as the God of this world, he still does the evil that he does. He comes into people's lives and wrecks their lives. You give birth to a child. You have great hopes for this child. You're expecting this child to do amazing things. And here comes some funny people pretending to be friends, and they get your child hooked on drugs. Now that child's life is spinning all over the place. What do you do? The God of this world has come and dipped his finger into the plate that you were eating out of and put his poison there. What do you do? You have an option. You can make yourself a citizen of the wicked world that that enemy operates in, or you can see yourself translated and removed from that realm and see yourself in the kingdom of God and recognize that whatever God has not planted in your life cannot stay. This evil cannot stay. My child is not going to be a drug addict. My child is not going to be an alcoholic. My child is not going to be poor and broke and be on the streets. My child, this is my child. This does not happen in my space. You can make that decision or allow yourself to be embraced by the forces of darkness and join the powers of darkness in pointing the finger of accusation at God. It is the woman that you gave me. God, you gave me a woman. I was, oh, woman, oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now it's my fault. How did this blessing become a problem? It is the planting of the enemy. The Bible says a man planted beautiful wheat, and here comes the enemy and comes and plants tares. In the night, when everybody was sleeping, he came and planted tares. A man wants to go and get rid of it and says, just let it alone, let them both grow up. And then I will harvest it. I will take those tares out. Because this is not what I planted. It will not bear fruit for the next generation. It stops here. Some would say it stops here. Yes, there is pain in the world. People have been abused, even by people that they trusted. Trust somebody to babysit your child. Pay them good money. And then one day you find out that the babysitter is abusing your child physically, emotionally, sexually, in every possible way. You see, those kind of things happen? Oh, my goodness. Where have you been? There is wickedness in the world. Because there's a bad devil who wants to destroy lives. You can look at that situation and say, well, this child is damaged. This child is never going to make it. They are going to be this and so on and so forth. Or you can make a decision. This thing that the enemy came to plant in my life, in my family, must be uprooted. This is not what God wants for my life. You can either embrace that pain and take it in and become bitter and become the one who continues to abuse yourself, or you can break out of it and say, no, I'm better than that. Jesus Christ paid the price for my salvation and my redemption, and I cannot be underneath the finger of the enemy, under the thumb of the enemy. I cannot be led around by the nose, by the string of darkness. I am a child of the Most High God. God knows me, understands me. He knew that this was happening, but he has a greater plan and a purpose for my life. He's going to turn this situation around, for he causes all things to work together for good for them that love God, those that have been called according to his purpose. Jesus said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Hallelujah. Yes, you may be in a wicked world, but you are not of it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I pray today that somebody will take the word of God and be separated from whatever it is that has kept them in bondage. Praise God. The devil, the god of this world, the Bible says, but he is not your God. Hallelujah. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it. He might be the God of this world, but he's not your God. But you know the incredible thing about it all is this. The Word of God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it. That's a remarkable statement. The devil may be the god of this world, but he's not my God. Why is he not your God? Because God made you God to have dominion over the devil. So while the devil is saying, I'm God over here, you can come there and say, under my feet. For God gave us dominion and put all things under our feet. Hallelujah. It is the people that do not know their God that perish. If you don't know what your rights are, you will be abused. You'll be taken on a ride. But when you know what your rights are, you can say, no, that doesn't happen. The price has been paid. And Jesus is Lord. All knees must bow to him of those things which are in the heavens and the things in the earth and the things under the earth. You might say that you are God, but you are only God to the fools who do not know that there is a real God. I'm not a fool. I believe in God. Hallelujah. 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 So you can be in the world and not be of the world. Problems can face everybody. And challenges can bring people down. But you make their own personal decision. That's not my portion. That's not my portion. There was an Egypt and there was a Goshen. Egypt was going through all of its problems, and Goshen kept on enjoying heaven on earth. You can listen to the news, listen to the media, and formulate your life based on what the media, the lying fake media, is proclaiming. Believe me, they are prophesying. They don't know what is going on. They're prophesying things and declaring things and saying things, and foolish men believe their lies and lead their lives based on what the world says. Oh, the economy is hard. Things are going to be difficult. When the word of God says, my God shall supply all my needs. How? According to the economy of the Dominion of Canada. Is that what it says? According to his riches. His riches. Someone say, his riches in glory. You are of a different economy. Yes, there are challenges. But I must remind myself that I'm not of this world, even though I'm in this world. That there is a God who loves me and a God who's well able to meet every need that I have. He is my Abba Father. Hallelujah. 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 God says, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but provide a way of escape. Is that what the Word of God says? You must remind yourself about that. What does the Word of God say? If he roots out whatever it is that he has not planted, Matthew 15 and verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Arthritis. God did not plant you in my body. Get out. Cancer. Out. Demonic oppression. Out. Lack, shame, confusion. Out. You're rooted out. Not a trace of you. You will not draw nourishment from me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It shall be rooted up. It shall. Hallelujah. Whatever my Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Pow. But I don't want you to dwell on what is going to be rooted up. It says that God plants. Yeah? Every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted. So the Father plants something. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, the Father planted something. Hallelujah. And that plant must grow. It must flourish. What is it that God has planted? Let's look at Psalm 97 and verse 11 real quickly. Wow, where does the time go? The Word of God says, light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness of heart for the upright. So, it puts two qualifications here, one righteous and one upright. You got to be righteous, you got to be upright. If you're righteous, meaning that you have a right standing before God and can come to God boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done. And the Bible says to us that righteousness is a gift that God has given to us. It is not something that you earned. It is something that was gifted you. Praise the Lord. So if righteousness is a gift that God gave to me, I have it if I receive it. Therefore, I have light. I have light. Someone say, I have light. Therefore, I have no occasion to stumble. Because the light of God is sown inside of me. Hallelujah. Gladness for the upright in heart. To be glad. To be in a celebrant setting. Nothing shaking you. The Lord says, when they come persecuting you, he says, rejoice. Huh? They're persecuting me. What do you mean rejoice? The Bible says the disciples, the apostles, when they were being persecuted and being whipped and thrown in prison, they were rejoicing that they had the opportunity to go through some trouble. Huh? What? What kind of, you guys lose your minds or something? What are you rejoicing about? Oh, that I got to be part of the family of God. I am so connected to him. They know it. They are persecuting me because I'm connected to him. Ah. Peter says, if you've been persecuted because of your craziness, you're on your own. But if you've been persecuted because you are connected to God, celebrate. Gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance of his what? Holiness. His holiness. Now, what is that word, holiness? It means to be separated. Separated from and to. So when God says, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, he's saying, give thanks because, yes, you are of this world, but you are in this world, but you are not of it. You are separated from it. When God said, be ye holy, he's saying, be separated. Separate yourself from that planting of darkness. Separate yourself from that story of the enemy. Stop going around and saying, well, nobody this and everybody this. And you are not them. Everybody is going through a financial problem right now. Well, the last time I checked, my name was not everybody. Is your name everybody? So why are you associating yourself with everybody? It's like, you know, my kids, you know, when they were growing up, everybody is doing this. I say, well, praise the Lord. Everybody is doing it, but not you, because if you were everybody, you would have been already doing it. But since you are not doing it now, you are not the everybody. That means you are different. Everybody, everybody, everybody. The next problem is nobody, nobody. It's either everybody or nobody. Well, you are not nobody either. You're a child of God. You have an identity. And it's not called everybody. And it's not called nobody. You are you, created in the image and the likeness of God. You are separate. You are chosen. You are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Huh? That's what it is. I'm not everybody. I'm me. And I don't plan to become everybody and nobody. I'm a child of God, following God, continuing with God. And whatever God has not planted and you're trying to plant it in my life, you and your plant are both going to get uprooted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rooted out. If it has anything to do with wickedness, and you look at the thing and says, if there is a God, this will not happen, that's a good sign. You've identified that that thing is evil, and you've identified that God is good. And there's a contradiction here. When there's that contradiction, say no to the devil and his activities. Say yes to the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has planted light for me. In Psalm 92, Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15, the word of God says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous that God has sown light for, they shall flourish like the palm tree, and they shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, those that be what? Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They've been planted in the house of God, and they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. When God plants you, you're planted. And you are still relevant. No matter how old you are, people can still tap grace from your life. They shall be fat and flourishing, because they've been planted. Now, let's understand that God plants us, but we have, by the very fact that we have our own self-will, can unplant ourselves. God can plant you and you can unplant yourself. God can put you in a place and you decide that that's not the place you want to be. You want to be somewhere else. You move yourself. You become unstable. You're not steadfast. And if you do that, you will not continue in that place of flourishing. Remember, they that are planted in the house of God flourish in his courts. Who flourishes in the courts of God? Those that have learned the powerful key of praise and worship. Who will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. They shall flourish. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To do what? To show that the Lord is what? Upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. There is no unrighteousness in God. He is upright. And what did the word of God tell us? He sows light for the righteous and gladness of heart for the upright. What does the word of God mean by that? It means just like I am, you will be. That is like being created in His image and likeness. When you see me, you see you. When you see you, you see me. It sounds like what Jesus said. I and the Father are one. Praise the Lord. That's a unique place to be. Now the Word of God, having said that, says in Psalm 16 and verse 11, Psalm 16 and 11, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. So, Pastor, why did you pick up this verse? Well, if you are in His presence, it's because you're planted in His presence. And therefore, you have the fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, there are what? Pleasures forevermore. All kinds of pleasures. Forevermore. Because you planted by God. Amen? We're talking about being planted by God. Those things that are not planted by God, rooted out. But what are we seeing about being planted by God? Something about joy, something about gladness, something about pleasures, something about prosperity. The goodness of God. I'm planted by God. And whatever God has planted, nobody can uproot. Nobody out there. The devil cannot do it. You know the only person that can? You. By your own self-will. You can remove yourself from the presence of God by your own personal act. They are like the palm tree. Wow, they're like the palm tree. What happens to the palm tree when the storm comes? The palm tree bends, comes back up. It knows how to be flexible. And God compares you and I to that palm tree. Unbreakable. Unstoppable. Because you made the decision that God is your God. Yes, there are problems. Yes, there are hurts. But you make the decision, I am not going to embrace hurts and disappointments, what people do or didn't do. I'm not going to rent space in my mind for the devil. Too many people give space in their mind. The devil is having free rent in your mind and not paying anything. Pays nothing and stays there. Messes with your mind. Plants his seed. And you go there and you keep on watering it. Worrying and fretting and complaining and griping and whatever else. That's the crazy stuff that we do. As if worrying is going to help you get out of the trouble. Worrying only clouds your mind. Makes you not see any way out. Isaiah chapter 60. I need to move real quick here because time is moving so fast. Isaiah 60 and verse 21. First part talks about rising and shining, for thy light is come and the glory of God is risen upon you. It says, thy people also shall be all what? Righteous. Are you seeing the connection? Righteous, consistently. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God plants you, all of you, so that he is glorified in you and through you. I love this one. It says, the branch of my planting. The branch of my planting. That's an extension. God is saying, listen, I'm going to so do great things in your life, and the extension of you will continue to spread the legacy of my goodness, my glory. It's going to extend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Mama sometimes does some planting of stuff, and when you come to the front, you see all these flowers and plants up in front. That's her handiwork. And sometimes she will cut a branch and stick it in water and start another plant. What is God saying? The branch of my planting? He's saying, your children's children will continue in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God plants you, he plants you and your family. He saves you and your household. Praise God. He's not messing around. He wants you and wants them. Praise God. And when that happens, he says, a little one shall become a thousand. The smallest of you shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. I'm going to hasten it. The smallest of you will be thousands. The smallest of you becoming strong nations. I will hasten it. The Lord who has given his word will perform it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We serve an awesome God. What must we do? Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. Jesus, our Lord, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. The enemy brought mourning. He says, but I'm going to do something else. I'm going to bring beauty for the ashes. Hallelujah. He says, the oil of joy for mourning. That's what the enemy wants, for you to be mourning. He says, I'm going to bring the oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to do an exchange that they might be called the trees. Someone say, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. That he might be what? Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Glorified. I am the planting of the Lord so that God can be glorified. Oh my God. We sinned and fell short of the glory. Well, God is saying, no, I'm restoring glory unto you. Hallelujah. I'm restoring glory. I'm doing a new thing. I'm exchanging your pain for joy. I'm going to root out whatever does not belong in your life and replace it with something that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why as a child of God, we can be confident that when God is on our side, failure shall not stand by us. Praise the Lord. He says, when God has done this in your life, he says, you're going to build the old waste. Praise God. They shall raise up the former desolations. You went through pain. You understand the pain. And God put you in there to understand how the program, the system is working. So you can dismantle it and rebuild. He says, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I don't know what you've gone through, what your family has gone through. You may sit down and think about your family line and see one painful experience after the other, one disappointment after the other, and all of that. And God says, stop it. Let it stop now. Stop embracing the pain of yesterday. Whatever happened to your person, whatever happened to your family, whatever happened to your race, whatever happened to your ethnicity, whatever happened that is not of God, you can say no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. My people must go free now. Praise God. Problem is many times we embrace what we should not embrace. We should be bold to push away whatever it is that is so familiar to us, that's caused us not to see better. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to 8, you can read all these passages I've been sharing with you and read the whole chapter so you see all of it. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. He says, will not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green. What does the heat want to do? Dry you up. Cause your leaves to go brown. Cause your leaves to fall off. Cause that which causes you to drink oxygen and go through the experiences of transformation to cease. He says, you planted by the waters, drawing nourishment. You're not afraid of heat. And then he says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. This is an incredible statement. Shall not be careful in the year of drought. Oh, things are hard. I better save my pennies. Oh, because things are hard. That is the thinking that the enemy wants to put you in to make sure that things are hard. Oh, I got to save for a rainy day. Oh, the rain is going to come because that's what you're looking for, the rain that's going to wash everything off. We must not buy into the thinking that the enemy wants to plant into our minds, even when it makes so much sense. Makes so much sense. Things are hard. Save your pennies. Thank God, Canadian government got rid of pennies. Or maybe save your loonies now. I don't know. What is God saying? God is saying, listen, son, since you linked up to me, I want you to know that I have abundance. I don't need help. I am the God who meets your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Stay connected with Jesus and see needs met. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Wow. But this is a remarkable thing. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What is the word of God saying? It says, as you're hooked up to me, I want you to be so connected to me and not rely on your own mind. Lean not onto your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will do what? Direct your path. If he wants you to save your pennies, he will tell you, save this. Put this aside. Do this. Am I saying you have money and just blow it because God has so much? No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't hear that. God believes in saving. He believes in saving so much he gave us a Savior to save us. Hallelujah. Yes, God does not believe in waste. Remember how he fed the 5,000? Five loaves and two fishes. And after they fed the 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children, he said to them, collect the fragments. God does not believe in waste. Okay? He does not believe in waste. But he doesn't want you to be caught in the deceptive mindset of being careful about things, in the sense that you're so careful that you are no longer in faith. So Philippians says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, present your case, your supplications, your prayers. Why? For God is near. He's with you. Therefore, rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice. It's what you do. God has his system. And we are called to follow the system of God, not the systems of man. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll wrap up. Thank you for giving me your attention. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's number one thing. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because the counsel of the ungodly will plant in your heart what God has not planted. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you, things are tough, don't give. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you, all the church wants is your money. The counsel of the ungodly will tell you all kinds of funny, crazy stories. Don't buy into that. The counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. The progression of walking, standing, and then sitting. Walk with the counsel of the ungodly. You stand in the way of sinners, doing the same thing like them, watching the same thing like them, and finally you sit down and you begin to scorn the people of God, thinking that the people of God are losers. And sometimes it looks like that. It looks like that. It looks like the enemy's winning. But it's not. It looked like the enemy was winning when Jesus was being whipped at the post with a flagger. Looked like he was losing when we're plucking all the hair off of his face and beating him up, and it looked like he wasn't a human being. It looked like he was losing. It looked like he was losing when we were spitting on him and hitting him and saying, "Who hit you, prophet? You know, who hit you? Did I do it? Did he do it? Did he? Who did it? Who did it?" Looked like he was losing when he was falling under the weight of the cross. "If you're so tough, how come you can't carry the cross?" Looks like he was losing when they put him on that cross and nailed him on there. Looked like he was losing when they put him in the empty tomb. It looked like he was losing, but God was so in him, taking all of my pain, all of my shame, all of my confusion, and he goes to hell all by himself. And he whooped the devil and his cohorts and grabbed everybody that was chosen to follow him and brought them out of that grave, and he ascended with them and with you and I, because you and I also got crucified with him. So Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It always looks like we're losing, but on the backside, when all the story is said, we're right on the top of the hill, flying the flag of the kingdom. I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing so many years ago. "Love is a flag flown high from the castle of man's heart, from the castle of man's heart, from the castle of man's heart. Love is a flag flown high from the castle of man's heart. When the king is in residence there, so lift it up to the skies. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So lift it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the king is in residence there." You know, if you were to go to Britain and you go to the palace, when the king, as it is now, is in Buckingham Palace, there's a flag that flies. I pray that the flag of gladness, of joy, of peace, favor, and prosperity flies high, because the king is in residence in your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't let the pirate flag fly. No, we're not giving those pirates any room in our ship. The flag of Kog, the kingdom of God, flies. The wind blows it, and it's resonating all over, declaring Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Is it, but his delight is in the law, the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is the key. You meditate on the word of God. Why? So that you know what your rights are. You don't know your rights, the devil will take you on a ride. But it's a good way for you to know your rights quickly. If it is not good, it can't be God. Therefore, I must say no to it. Hallelujah. It must go. It cannot stay. This pain that I feel in my heart, it cannot stay. It got to go. This wrong relationship that is causing me so much pain, that thing causing the pain, got to get out of my life. Because I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to celebrate the goodness of God. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Because I'm the planting of the Lord. Planted because the word of God takes prime position in my life. That's how I make my decisions. What does the word of God say? Now, I'll be the first to tell you that sometimes when I hear what the word of God has to say about something, I am not a very happy camper, because I really want to do it my way. What I want to do is what I want to do, and God, you're messing with the program. Have you ever been there? Huh? It's just, no, we're not going to go to the Bible right now. No. We're not going to, no, Bible, stay there. We're not going to look at you. We're going to do something else. I'm going to repent later. Anybody been there before? Please don't do that. Just obey the word of God. Just do what God said. It's a setup for your greatness. Just obeying. God is training you to learn obedience. And having obeyed, he will give you a name. Hallelujah. Because you're connected to the one who has a name that's above every other name. Praise God. You know, those demonized men, the sons of Sceva, went to deal with. The demonized man says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? They knew Paul's name. They knew Jesus' name. You know, the powers of darkness need to know your name. While I was in Pakistan, people that I've not met before don't know my name. They don't know anything about me. People that I have not seen before. They've not seen me before. But because some of them were demonized, they say, Pastor Mike. I say, what did that guy just say? What? So I'm here, you're calling me Pastor Mike. One said, Bishop. I didn't tell anybody I was a bishop there. your name can be known. I was in New York. Same thing. I was in Jerusalem. Mama was with me and a whole host of people. Bishop Mike, what are you doing here? Well, what do you mean? Well, God gives you a name. You are authorized. Don't trade it for the devil. Make the right decisions. About 30 years ago, I remember the word of the Lord. Before we had, you know, terrorism, wicked terrorism in our world, God says, I'm raising up spiritual terrorists. I said, Lord, what do you mean, spiritual terrorists? He says, I'm raising up men and women that will terrorize the devil and his cohorts. He said, and you're one of them. I said, me? You're making me a spiritual terrorist? Those of you, don't let me put my finger in front of my mouth. I'm talking about spiritual terrorists, not talking about people carrying natural guns. So don't edit my statement and make it say something else. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are called to terrorize the forces of darkness. Because you see, God is going to use you to uproot. When God says, whatever it is my Father has not planted shall be rooted up, He uses you to root it out. Wrong thinking, wrong doctrines, rooted out. Because wrong thinking is what keeps people in bondage. Don't buy into the lies of the enemy. The ungodly are not so. But are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Every wind blows them off. But you are secure in Him. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. May the peace of God rest upon you. May everything that is not of God be rooted out of your life. And may you know the power of God like never before. May God's peace garrison your heart. May you run into the arms of God, the arms of the one who's loved you with an everlasting love, and find safety in Him. May supernatural health be your daily proclamation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may the God who heals, restores, and makes whole, the God who elevates, promotes, and propels people into higher heights of grace and favor, do for you more than you can ever think or aspire for. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, raise up your sons and your daughters. Remove from the lives of your people all that is not right, and establish righteousness in each one as they hold on to you and look on to you, the author and finisher of faith. Blessed be your holy name, and may your people blessed of you rise in righteousness, rise uprightly, walking in righteousness, in truth, finding favor with you and with men. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let us honor God with our giving. Let us trust God. I release those that are on YouTube and on Facebook at this time. And I'll talk to you here. And I want to thank every one of you that gave so generously to the mission trip that I just came back from yesterday. I reported to you this morning that 21,275, I think it was,